Welcome to the Family Life Church podcast. We're so excited that you're joining us today. Our hope today is that this podcast brings life to you and that you leave this message encouraged, equipped, and empowered to live the amazing life God designed for you.
Well, how about that for a start to your week? Anybody? Come on. Feel energized? Ready to go? Well, you know today that you might be surrounded by some things in life, but you are surrounded by God. God is with you. He's on your side. He's got your back. We talked about this for several weeks, and he's going to make a way out for you. Today, we want to turn our attention to Vision Month 2019. We're going to talk this month about our vision for the coming year. And usually, we do this in January, but we wanted to move this to November so we'd have plenty of time to dream, pray, and imagine for what God has for us in this coming year and beyond. In fact, our vision sheets that we pass out annually, we'll be passing them out this month, but we're taking it to the next level because we are going to be believing God and leaning in not only for vision in 2020, but for the entire decade. We want to believe, you know, God moves in decades, not just years and day to day, but he's moving way out into the future. So we're going to believe and lean in. Well, God, what do you have for us over the next decade? I want to encourage you in that. So open your Bibles with me. Interestingly enough, you just heard this scripture from Victoria. To 2 Kings chapter 6, that's where we're going to take our text from today. And the foundation that I want to use for today's message as we talk about Vision 2019. And today I want to specifically touch on and kick off this series with this idea talking about supervision. Supervision. Now, when we hear that word, we hear supervision, we think about maybe we think about Superman. We all know that Superman had x-ray vision. He had vision beyond the normal vision. Or maybe you think about, if you're a little younger, you might think about Jack-Jack from The Incredibles. He had some visual power going on there. If you're really connected to Family Life Church and the Quest movement, you might think about our very own Visor from The Value Agents. He has supervision, the ability to see beyond. But this idea of supervision is just the ability to see beyond the normal and to see an expanded reality that's out there. And in 2 Kings and chapter 6, this is really what I believe that we see. Now, several months ago, actually it's about a month and a half ago, I sent in some binoculars that I had for repair. I had bought a pair of binoculars maybe about 8 years ago to go bird watching with my son Grant. And they're near field binoculars, very nice binoculars made by a company called Redfield was the label. The Rebels were the model, so it was the Redfield Rebels were the name of the binoculars. And you could see about 4 feet in front of you. You could focus in about 4 feet, which is called near field. But then also you could see expansively, beautiful, nice, wide picture. And I love binoculars, so kind of a thing for binoculars. So I bought these to go bird watching with Grant. And this particular company, Redfield, has a lifetime guarantee on their products. So if you are know anything about tools, kind of like Craftsman, if you break the tool for any reason, whether you're using it, run over it, whatever, send it in, they'll repair it or send it back a new one. Lifetime guarantee. And so I had to send these binoculars in before for some repair, had gotten them back fixed, and they were great, but they had kind of fallen into being out of kilter, so I had to send them back in ahead of hunting season this year. So I sent them off to Redfield. It had been about a month. I hadn't heard anything. And I finally were coming up on hunting season, and I knew I wanted these binoculars for hunting season. So I called him up on the night before opening day, and I said, hey, I just wanted to call and check. Hadn't heard a thing about my Redfield Rebels that I sent in to have fixed. The guy's like, well, let me check on it real quick. And he goes, oh, yeah, here I found them. We have them. They're broken. We can't fix them. And so we have to replace them with another model that's similar to those because we don't make the Redfield Rebels anymore. So we're going to have to replace them with another model that's close to that. And now the company that owns Redfield is Leupold, one of the best brands in the industry for binoculars. They said, we don't have that model anymore, so we're sending you a model that's similar, but those are on back order, and we're not sure when we'll have another pair. And then he paused and he said, I'm assuming you have a hunt coming up. I said, well, yeah, actually I do. Tomorrow's opening day, and then we're gonna be in the season, and I wanted to have these back for the season. He goes, ah, man, I'm so sorry. And these were the words he used. He said, let me see if I can do you a solid. How many of us good when a company says, let me see if I can do you a solid? So I had paid, now these weren't expensive binoculars that I had, but at the time, about 8 years ago, I had paid about $100 for these binoculars, and they were good binoculars. And so he goes offline for a little bit, and he comes back on, and he goes, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to upgrade you. How many of you know it's good to hear those words? Finnegan upgrade, right? And so I'm going to upgrade you to the BX2s. And he told me the brand and everything, and I was like, sweet! What are the BX2s? And so he's describing them. I looked them up online. I'm like, hey, these look spectacular. And he goes, I'll have them out to you. I'll expedite them, and you'll have them in just a couple days. And so I went from these old, broken, $100 binoculars to a brand new pair of Leupold Best in the Industry $350 binoculars near field. And these things also have what's called dusk enhancement. That means when you get down into dark light, it's like you're seeing almost in the middle of daytime. These puppies rock. Whew, I'm not going to look out at you with them, though. That's bad. And I was excited to get these, man. I was like, couldn't wait. These are really nice binoculars. And these also carry a lifetime guarantee that if anything goes wrong, I send them in, they'll either repair them or replace them for the life of the binoculars. All that. That's, isn't that cool? It's a free upgrade. And I was like, thank you for doing me a solid. I believe that today, where it concerns the vision for your future, God wants to upgrade your vision. God wants to do you a solid. He wants to take the vision that you have for your future to a whole new level. Anybody in here be okay that God would give you a new vision for your future, an upgraded vision that maybe when times seem dark, it'd be like looking out in the light of day and seeing your way clearly. Somebody shout this out loud. God, upgrade my vision. And so all month, we're going to talk about how to dream, how to use your imagination, how to tap into what God sees about your future. And I just want to take a minute today and inspire you, encourage you with this word as we look at 2 Kings chapter 6 about upgrading your vision. Talk about super vision. Now, the reason that Elisha had gotten into this situation is that God had already given him above normal vision and perspective. In fact, we know that King Aram, the king that had gotten mad at Elisha, what was happening was that every time King Aram would take his troops into battle and try to take territory against God's people, somebody knew what the king was going to do already and was foiling his plans and strategies. And the king didn't know how this was happening. And so the king began to suspect that there was somebody inside his administration that was spying on his plans and letting the enemy know. And so one day he asked his team, he's like, hey, something's going on here. Every time we try to advance, it's like our enemy knows the moves that we're going to make. And the king said, there's got to be a spy, somebody inside my cabinet, my administration that's letting all this information out. And his advisor said, no, king, it's nobody inside here. It's this prophet named Elisha. God shows him everything that you're planning. In fact, God shows him what you're even thinking in secret. See, God had given Elisha supernatural vision, an ability to see what others could not see. And so King Aram gets obviously upset about this and says, well, we'll take care of this. Let's march against Elisha. And so he gathers up all of his forces, his army, his men, his horses, and he goes out to fight Elisha. And that's where we pick up in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15 that Victoria read just a minute ago. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went out. Now, this is Elisha's servant, goes out into the area where they're staying, and he sees that there are troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. And he says to Elisha, oh, sir, what are we going to do? And in verse 16, Elisha responds to Gehazi, his servant, and says, don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now, the only way that Elisha could have the confidence to say this to Gehazi is if he saw something Gehazi didn't see. How many of you today would like to have an advantage over your enemy? I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about your neighbor's dog. I'm talking about the enemy of your soul. I'm talking about depression. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about comfortableness. I'm talking about anxiety. I'm talking about doubt. I'm talking about a lack of clarity in your life. I'm talking about confusion. I'm talking about things that cause you to be apprehensive about stepping out into the plan of God for your life. How many of you would like to have an advantage over sickness and disease, an advantage over poverty? Anybody like to know the next move that your enemy is going to make so you can cut it off of the past and get the victory? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody desire an enhanced vision for your life? Well, God had given Elisha an enhanced vision, a supervision for his life. And so when Gehazi saw the hillside filled with the enemy, Elisha saw something different. He saw the hillside filled with the chariots of God, the chariots and the horses of fire of God. Now mark this idea of the horses and chariots. And Elisha prays and says, God, open his eyes. Somebody just pause right now in here and just say this out loud. God, open my eyes. God said, or Elisha said, God, open his eyes. And the Bible says that God opened Gehazi's eyes, his servant's eyes, and he saw the hills filled with horses and chariots of fire. Now, I want you to remember this, horses and chariots of fire. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Church, we don't have to live our lives intimidated by the enemies that we face. We talked last week about facing down the giants. The reason that we can face down the giants, you might say, well, Pastor, I don't have experience in that area. I believe that God's asking me to step out, but I don't have experience in that. You don't need experience to step out into what God's asking you to step out into. Because even though that enemy of inexperience is out there on its horse, there's an enemy, there's a chariot of fire of knowledge and wisdom and revelation that's standing there at the ready to help you overcome that enemy of inexperience. Well, Pastor, I don't know the word like so many know the word, and I'm not assured that I don't have the word of God hidden in my heart. That's okay. You just keep journeying and growing in the word, and God will lead you in the light that you have. That enemy of a lack of knowledge of the word is not going to stop you from the plan that God has for your life, because he'll open your eyes to the revelation of the word that's out there to help you get past that moment. He wants to give you supervision. Elisha had supervision. See, too often we're depending on our own ability to set our course for the future. We're thinking about, how can I work this out? And we lean on people and we ask people, what do you think? What should I do? What is your experience? Where have you been? What did you do? And that's okay to a certain extent, as long as we realize that our vision and understanding is limited. It's limited, but God's vision and his understanding is unlimited. There's no limit to what God can see, because he sees from a super or above perspective. See, this idea of supervision is the idea of super above vision to see. The word supervision means to see above. In fact, the idea of a supervisor, the person that you report to at work, your supervisor, that very word supervisor means one who sees above. In other words, there is your supervisor because in theory, they know more than you and they see things from a different perspective than you. And when you run into trouble, they know how to see to get out of that trouble. Supervisor, one who watches over. Have you ever heard this saying before? I can't see the forest for the trees. What does that mean? I'm having a hard time seeing the bigger picture for all the details down here, all the stuff I have to put up with, all the day-to-day, what we call the grind, the whirlwind, the things that we have to do on a day-to-day basis, the places we have to go, the tasks we have to accomplish, the drama we have to deal with, the things we have to respond to. And as we get so caught up in the weeds and in the trees, it's often hard to see the bigger picture. But if you want to see the bigger picture, you have to go super super meaning above. You have to get above the trees. Let me give you an example of this. The way that we advance in life is not just to keep fighting the trees. But it's to find a way to rise above the trees. And to say, I'm not going to stay stuck in that drama. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to pull me back down into your fear, your anxiety, your need for significance. I'm not your source of significance. You're not going to drag me back. You're not going to make me feel bad for the things that you're battling. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to rise above the situation. Why? Because I need a bigger perspective. I need a supervision of my life. Why? Because this is how I fight my battles. It might look like I'm surrounded, but God, I recognize I'm surrounded by you. Why? Because I'm getting a higher vision for my life. I'm seeing my life from your perspective. God, open his eyes and let him see. And I believe that what God did is he took Gehazi to another level. And he said, Gehazi, let me show you what's really happening in your life. And Gehazi's like, it might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And he got a little bit of a higher perspective. Church, I believe that we need a higher point of view. Our community needs a higher point of view. We've had our noses stuck in the mud of lack and poverty for too long. We've had our noses stuck in the past for too long. It's time for this generation of Marianites to rise up to a new level and say, I refuse to get stuck in what was, and I'm going to begin to see what is. I'm going to get a supervision. I'm going to let my supervision supervise my life. Show me the way out. And I believe that we can say, it might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. In fact, I want to encourage you and challenge you. The next time you're at work and somebody starts getting on your last nerve, that you just... It might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. We got to climb up to a higher level. And this is what we see Gehazi doing under Elisha's leadership. There's something out there you haven't seen yet. And here's what I want to share with you today about supervision. That the clarity, the clearer our vision, the greater our confidence. The clearer our vision, the greater our confidence. When you get a higher perspective in your life, it gives you confidence for your future. Think about Abraham. God said to Abraham, he said, here, I have an expansive vision for you. You're going to be the father of many nations. Here's a man who's almost 100 years old, can't have children. His wife is barren, unable to produce children. And God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Gave him a vision that was beyond. And he's like, are you kidding me, God? Look how old I am. My wife is barren. Oh, look at all these trees that are in the way. And God says, no, Abraham, I need to raise you to another level. So he takes him outside of his tent and he says, look up at the stars of the sky. Look out at the sand around you. That's how your descendants will be. God had to get Abraham to a higher level of vision so that it would give him confidence to do what God had asked him to do. You got to get out of your normal routine to see that broader vision that God has for your life. God's not going to rain it down in just your normal average, everyday, day-to-day reality. You got to step outside that tent of place and say, God, I'm going to get into your presence. I'm going to get into a place where it's just me and you. I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive out to the edge of a pond somewhere. And I'm just going to be in your presence, God. I'm going to shut my door and tell my children to leave me alone so I can be here in the bedroom alone with you, God, because I need a vision that's bigger and broader and greater than anything I can imagine. It doesn't look like it. My life is going to work out. God, I can't. I'm having a hard time getting past these obstacles. So I need some time alone with you so you can show me the stars and show me the sand and build my confidence that you're at work for my life. It's not going to happen just by hoping it does or listening to Christian radio. You got to get alone with God. I love Christian radio, but God speaks to us in our time with him. our intimacy with him. And the clearer you get about God's vision for your life, the more confidence it's going to give you. I speak from personal experience. This isn't just all huff and puff up here. This is how we live our lives. And I can tell you, when I've gotten a vision from God, when I've seen clearly the next step, when I've gotten that higher perspective, that supervision that God has given us, it's given us confidence to step up and go, let's go. Just this past week, we'll share this vision with you this month, but not today. Just on Thursday, I had an incredible conversation about the next step for Quest Student Leadership. Something that's happening in 2020 that we'll share with you this month. But there's no way that comes to pass if I don't submit to the bigger, broader vision of God. Because when I start to think about what we're about to step into, it's intimidating. It's overwhelming. Emotionally, I don't feel like I'm ready for it. Experientially, I've never been here before. But I can tell you, we're about to step out into some things that God has ordained, that God has said to do. And it's taken faith just to go, whatever, God. All right, here we go. But God says, I see bigger and broader. You're surrounded by the enemy. You say lack, poverty. You say disruption in the home. You say homes are falling apart. But I say there's an anointing and grace upon your life to mend homes, to bring hope, to rise people up out of poverty. And that's what I got to get you to see, is that this isn't about your inabilities. It's about my ability. The chariots and the horses that I've put there to bring victory into your life. Church, and I'm nobody special. God doesn't honor me over you. If you'll step out in faith, he'll use you to do things your brain never could have thought of. You know, I hear from people all the time. I say, hey, why don't you come and join us at Family Life Church? Ah. You don't want me in your building. Well, I don't want you in our building. If I was in your building, that thing would blow up by lightning. I would be like, if I'm coming in. And they have this idea that God's trying to destroy them, or that they don't qualify. No, Jesus died on the cross for you, shed his blood for you, so you could climb up out of sin and poverty and lack to a whole new level. Of God, I was surrounded by all that junk before, but now I'm surrounded by you, and I see my life in a whole new way. A whole new way. I shared with you the story before of going to the Grand Canyon with our children. And it's the first time in my life as a dad that our kids have ever been quiet without me having to tell them to. I mean, literally, we were walking up to the edge of that thing, and everybody's just chit-chatting, and it was the first time we'd ever been there. We're excited, and Max is running ahead, and we're yip-yapping back and forth. And we got about 5 feet away from the edge, and it was just like silence fell on our family. Because it was the awe of seeing, we're just like, I have it on video. And we're just looking. Can't say a word. Why? Because of what we saw. Everything back here was pretty normal. You're just walking down a paved path, looking at signs in a national park. And then you get to something you've never seen before. And you're like, whoa. Whoa. 1 Corinthians teaches us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, we got to think about this for a second. What does that mean? That means you might have thought of some big stuff, but it's nothing compared to what God's thought for you. You might have some big dreams, big ideas, but it's nothing compared to what God has for you. You haven't heard it. You haven't seen it. You haven't imagined it, what God has prepared for you. Sometimes people will take that scripture and they'll say, well, you can never know the thoughts in the mind of God. But that's only because they didn't read the next verse. Because the next verse tells us, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. It wasn't new physical eyes that God gave Gehazi. It was spiritual insight that God gave Gehazi. Church, we're not just mere human beings that walk around the face of this earth without hope. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the wisdom of God. We have the insight of God. And when we say, God, open my eyes, and we pray that prayer from a sincere heart, we'll begin to see things that others can't see. We'll begin to see opportunities. We'll begin to see warning signs. We'll begin to see things that will cause us to go quicker and things that will cause us to slow down, things that will cause us to go right, things that will cause us to turn left. Why? Because we're seeing what others don't see. We're seeing what God sees for our future. He reveals these things to us. How? Not by your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or a book, but by his Spirit. And it gives us confidence. The second thing that we know about this supervision is that natural vision is limited. Supernatural vision is expansive, multidimensional, transgenerational, and eternal. So our vision as people is limited by our current understanding of laws and systems. What we currently understand about laws and systems limits our vision. Because everything that we believe about the future is based on what we know from the past. Our current understanding of laws and systems. Let me give you an example of this. So it was about the early 1900s when we began to see real progress in the area of flight. Now, traditionally, we say that the Wright brothers were the first to fly. There were others that were working on this at the same time as well. But we know that in Kitty Hawk, they lifted off the earth, flew a plane for about 19 seconds, then landed again. And that was the start of the age of flight. Fast forward 100 years, we have landers on Mars. We have men who've walked on the moon. We have all kinds of things that orbit around the earth today. We had a space shuttle for a few decades that flew up and came back, a big airplane that would go into space and orbit and come back. I mean, the progress that we made in flight was absolutely exponential once that barrier of flight was broken, and all based on the law of lift. Lift is what overcomes gravity. That law of lift is what causes us to be able to fly, and now we can control flight. But did you know that when God spoke in the beginning of time and said, let there be light, and the earth was created, did you know that the law of lift existed in the earth at that time? Just because we didn't know about it didn't mean it didn't exist. We just hadn't discovered it yet. It just took us 12,000 years or however long it was to discover the law of lift. God, in one conversation with one man, can change a nation. What it would take men to do centuries and centuries and centuries, God can do in a moment, in a conversation, through the revelation of his Holy Spirit. What you will spend your lifetime trying to accomplish with your life, God could set you on a different course in the matter of 30 minutes of prayer. 30 minutes in an intimate conversation with him could forever change the trajectory of not only your future, but your children's future. See, God's not just trying to get you out of the mess this week. He's trying to set you up for success the rest of your life and your kids' life and your kids' life and your kids' life. He sees things from a higher perspective, church. He doesn't see things the way that we do. In fact, that's what Isaiah teaches us. Isaiah said it this way. He said, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Somebody say, praise God. How many people would be in the hospital today if God's thoughts were like your thoughts? How many people would probably have died an early death if God's thoughts would have been like your thoughts? How many people would have wrecked on the road in front of you had God's thoughts been like your thoughts? Get out of my way! I'm gonna run them off the road. What if those were God's thoughts? We'd all be in the ditch somewhere, wouldn't we? Aren't you glad that God doesn't think the way that we think? But he said, my thoughts are what? They are higher. Somebody say higher. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. As far as the heavens are from the earth, God's thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. And we might stop and pause and read that scripture and go, well, you just never know with God. His ways are higher than my ways. But then you fall back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But he's revealed them to us by his Spirit. We don't have to go around ignorant of God's ways, ignorant of his wisdom, ignorant of it. We can tap into the supernatural vision of God for our life. God, show me. Open my eyes. Let me see. What's at work here? and he'll show us the way. The last thing I want you to see today is this, is that the intensity of our future vision is determined by the intimacy of our present walk with God. The intensity of our future vision is determined by the intimacy of our present walk with God. Now, the vision sheets that we're going to pass out this month, I want to encourage you, if you've ever filled one out in the past, and we fill one out every year, it's amazing to watch things get checked off the vision list. As we fill these out this year, I want to encourage you, these vision sheets are not meant for us just to write down what we can think of. They're meant for us to write down what God reveals. So it's more than just sitting down and thinking, well, under what I want, what I need, let me see. What can I believe for this year? What do I think? But it's, God, open my eyes. What do you have for me and my family in 2020? What do you have? What do you want from me in 2020, God? God, what do you want me to want? Where's an idea? The Bible says that he gives us the desires of our heart. Somebody say, God gives me my desires. Now, there are two ways we can take that. We can hear that to say, God's a genie in a bottle, and he'll give me everything I want. He gives me the desires of my heart. Or we can see it the way I believe it's meant to be seen, and that is, God, you place inside of me my desires. You give me the desires of my heart. Not my emotions, not my hormones, not my nutrition, not my sleep cycle. God, you, the Spirit of the living God, implants desires in my heart. Now, I have a question. If God were to put that desire in your heart and you truly desired it, then would he bring that desire to pass? See how that works? God, you give me, implant inside of me the desires of my heart, and then you fulfill those desires in me in a way that brings me fulfillment in this life. Not, God, I'll make up my mind, I'll make up my order. I'll give it to you and you better do it. And if you don't, I'll hold you accountable for not doing what I thought you should do in my life. So many people living their lives under the deception that God is their errand boy. And that if he doesn't do what he thinks they should do, what they think he should do, then he must not be a loving God. Why didn't God do what I thought he should do? Well, maybe that you didn't think like God thought. Maybe you weren't thinking God thoughts when you thought that thought that you wanted God to think like you did. Maybe we begin by changing our thoughts to God's thoughts, and then our thoughts become God's thoughts, and God thinks about us in the way that we're thinking about him, and he says, I can do that. God, give me your desires. God, help me to desire what you desire. Help me to overcome my flesh and desire what you desire so that my desires can be met because you desire to meet my desires because you've given me these desires. God, give me the desires. But that is born, you guys, out of an intimacy with God. Intimacy. I've seen a pattern in the lives of people that I've known in my own life. I've seen a pattern where the intensity of what I'm believing for the future. By intensity, I mean things that are big, things that are going to be difficult, going to take a lot of effort. Things that some people might look at and go, wow, that's a big dream. That's a big vision. Boy, that's a lot to try to get done. And I look at it and go, wow, that's a lot to get done. It's a big vision. It's intense. But I've recognized in my own life this pattern that the intensity of what I see for my future is always linked to seasons of intimacy with God. That when I find myself in a more intimate pattern and rhythm with God, time with him, leaning into him, humility, putting down my own thoughts and pride and saying, God, what do you desire in one of this situation? That all of a sudden my mind expands and opens up into things I've never thought of before. I call them aha moments, breakthroughs, revelations, that things that we needed to know that came as the result of simply being intimate with God and real with God. I told you to bookmark this idea of the chariots of fire and the horses of fire, and I want to close with this thought. In 2 Kings chapter 2, and this is previous to what we just read with Elisha and Gehazi, Elisha is following the prophet Elijah. He'd been called out to follow Elijah, and so he followed Elijah. At nearing the end of their relationship, it had come time for Elijah to go. And he asked Elisha, he said, "What do you want from me?" And Elisha responds and says, I want a double portion of your anointing. In other words, he said, I want double your ability, double your grace, double your calling. This thing that what I see in you and how you operate, this spirit of prophecy and how you speak words to people that change their life, how God uses you, I want double that. I want it to be so intense in my life. I want it to be twice as intense as it was in your life. There was something that Elisha saw in Elijah that caused him to get inspired and motivated to want the same thing. In a way that he said, I want double what you got. And Elijah says, "Man, you've asked a big thing. That's a big request." He says, "Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, you'll have what you've asked." So what did Elijah have to do? If he was going to see Elijah, he didn't know when he was going to go. If he was going to see Elijah go, what did he have to do? He had to follow, listen closely. He had to follow intimately. Friends, if you want to see God move in your life, if you want to dream the dreams that God has dreamed for you, if you want to think the thoughts that He thinks about you, if you want to see the future that God has for you, it requires an intimate followership. You can't let God out of your sights. He has to be the center of every decision that you make, of every choice, of every coming in, every going out, how you operate at work, how you lead your family, how you love your spouse, how you lead your children, how you worship on a Sunday, how you spend time in the Word, how you hear from Him, how you work in the world around you, how you invest in other people's lives. The way that you see your world has to go to a whole new level of intimacy with God, to follow Him closely. And I get that that could be intense. I get that that could be a request that's like, I don't know if I can do that. And the truth is that we can't. But when we lean into God, He enables us. Just like Elisha prayed for Gehazi, God opened his eyes. It wasn't something Gehazi could do for himself. He had to receive from God a supernatural ability to see beyond the enemy that was out here. And I believe today, if you will make the conscious decision to say, God, from this point forward, I'm going to lean in and put my nose in your back. I'm going to follow you intimately, and you mean it from your heart, God will help you develop the ability to follow Him closely. He's going to begin to speak to you about your schedule. He's going to begin to speak to you about the things that you've invested your time and your talent and your treasure in. He's going to begin to require of you things that will shift your daily habits. There may be some things that you have to change about your life, how you spend your Monday, how you spend your Thursday, the attitude that you allow yourself to have in certain situations, the things that in the past you passed off to say, well, that's just me. You're going to have to get used to it. God may require of you a different attitude. He may require you to arrest yourself and say, nope, that used to be me, but now this is how I respond in this situation. He will deal with you on the intimacy of the level of your emotion, the level of your habit, the level of your environment, so that you can be intimate with Him. Because in that intimacy, He's going to show you things that are a part of your future. And if you saw those things today in your current state, you'd never believe it. You wouldn't see it. It'd go right past you. But because of the intimacy that you're building with God, I'm talking about making time to spend time in the Word, making time to get on your knees in prayer and shutting that door and getting away from the kids and driving out into the country and saying, God, it's just me and you. What do you want to say to me? What do I need to hear? What do I need to know? and submitting yourself to God. Guys, I'm talking about getting in your car and driving out into the country. That's not a euphemism, I'm being serious. Go out to Killdeer. It's quiet out there. Find a place to park, shut the engine off, turn the radio off, roll the windows down, listen to the birds, and let God speak to you, not in nature, but in your spirit. You're just out there to be quiet. Get away from everything. And let God speak to your spirit. God, speak to my spirit. And as he begins to reveal things to you, you make the adjustment. You say, God, I hear you. I'm going to make that adjustment. I'm going to work on that. And as you step out to work on it, he's going to show you, that's great. Now try it this way. And he's going to begin to work on your habits and how you approach your relationship with God. It's going to become intimate. You're going to learn to trust him in a greater way. You're going to learn to love him in a greater way. Learn to depend on him in a greater way. And it's in that love and trust and dependence that your eyes are going to begin to get opened up. And because Elisha followed God intimately right here, he followed Elijah, wouldn't let him out of his sight. Everywhere Elijah went, there Elisha went. The Bible says as they were walking along in 2 Kings 2:11, as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared. A what? A chariot. Remember the chariot of fire? A chariot of fire appeared, drawn by what? Horses of fire. Remember the horses of fire? The chariots of fire? And it drove between Elijah and Elisha, separating them. Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel. It was in that moment of intimacy, Elisha following Elijah, saying, I'm not going to let you out of my sight. I've been called to you. This is my place. It might not be comfortable all the time. It might mess up my routine. But I'm here and I'm committed and I'm not letting you out of my sight because there's something greater I'm looking for. There's something more that I desire than just the comfort of everyday life, than just the title of prophet. I'm looking for an anointing. I'm looking for a greater grace in life. I'm looking for an ability to be calm in the middle of crisis. I'm looking for the chance to see something beyond right where I am today, to have the confidence and hope to know that because God is on my side, all this junk's gonna work out. That's what I'm looking for. And it causes me to stay put right here in the place that God has called me, right here with you, Elijah. And he sees the chariots of fire and the horses of fire coming. And mark that moment, because now we fast forward to when he's surrounded by the enemy. And what is it that Elisha sees? He doesn't see the enemy. He sees what God has already revealed for Elisha's life. Look, I just want you to know, this is how I move. I move in a way that's outside the senses of man. I move in a way that's beyond the vision of what the normal person sees. I got a higher perspective. I got a higher way of thinking. And I'm just gonna give you an exposure right now in this moment to the chariots of fire and the horses of fire, because there's coming a day. Right now, I'm just gonna let you feel a little bit of that patience that you need to build, of that momentum that you need to build, of that endurance that you need to build, because there's coming a day when it's patience and endurance is what you're going to need to inherit the promise. And you need to be used to feeling patience and endurance, so that when everybody else is losing their mind, you're going, no, it might look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by him. And he sees the chariots of fire and the horses of fire. And I just got to believe that when Gehazi says, what are we going to do? I just got to believe that Elisha responds maybe like this. Of course. Chariots of fire. Horse, of course. Of course this is the way you would do it, God. Of course this is how you move in my life. You see so far beyond what I can see. I don't even want to try to establish these things in my life without your help. I don't even want to try to write a vision down on a vision sheet in 2019 for my next decade without having spent time in your presence and knowing this is what you see for me. I just have to think that Elisha chuckled inside himself. Of course. God opened his eyes. And the young man saw. That's my prayer for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd open eyes in this room today. Lord, so many people in this room today have felt the press and the pressure of the enemy. So many people today, God, are feeling it even now. the anxiety and the stress that comes with everyday life, God, and they need a higher vision, a supervision, a vision that will manage and form their decisions in their life moving forward. God, I pray that you'd open their eyes. Father, I ask sincerely, as Elisha did that day, as we stand here on the ramparts looking out over the future and we see the alignment of the enemy that's bearing down and wanting to keep us from advancing. God, I pray today that everybody in this room, myself included, that you would open our eyes. Reveal to us right now, God, your plan, your vision for our future. In Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed today, Father, just thank you for Jesus. We want to invite you into an opportunity to say yes to Christ, as simple as that. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, I've never said yes to Jesus, or maybe you recognize that I need to recommit my heart and my life to him. I want to give you an opportunity right now to pray that prayer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here and you say, I want to pray that prayer, Pastor, just lift your hand in the air. That's me. That's me. I want to pray that prayer. Receive Christ today. Thank you so much for the courage to lift your hand right now. Anybody else before we pray? Church, won't you stand with me? Father, we recognize your presence. You're here. You are here. You're here, Lord. Father, you are here. We're grateful for your presence, God. Hallelujah. Come on, saints, just lift your voice of thanksgiving to God. God, thank you. Lives are being transformed right now. Visions are being revealed right now. New thoughts, new ways are being revealed right now. Thank you for it, Lord. Father, we just receive it. We receive it, God. We receive it, God. We receive it, God. Thank you for it, Lord. I believe the Spirit of the Lord would say today that there are some here who have tried to fill time and energy and creativity in your life with things that God has not designed for you. Not necessarily bad things, not necessarily sinful things, but things that just take time and energy and resources. And you've drawn them into your life because there's a lack of satisfaction in your life. You've drawn them into your life because you felt a need for something that would bring a sense of significance and satisfaction. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord would say to you today, that spot was meant for God to fill, not for that thing. You've laid out money. You've invested time. You now have emotion tied up into it. But I believe that God would say to you today, that was space that he wanted to occupy. That was time he wanted to occupy. And the emptiness and the longing that you felt was not for something that was physically missing in your reality, but was a place of intimacy with God that wasn't what it should have been. And if you will, in humility today, say, God, I missed it. I missed it. But I'll make it right. He'll restore to you that time. He'll restore to you that treasure. And he'll bring a new level of intimacy in your life that you've been desiring to experience with him in the first place. But the first thing that has to happen is that loyalty to that thing has to go. I'm not saying you have to get rid of it. But I'm saying it has to come second to God. If getting rid of it is what it means, that's between you and God. There's a way to retain it and keep it and to make a new priority out of it. That's between you and God. That's something for you to work out. But it was not meant to take God's place. And the true healing that you desire, the true peace and the joy and the courage that you desire in this life, the thing that you've been struggling with that you felt like this fulfilled now is going to get replaced by a more intimate relationship with God. And there's a greater revelation on your life that's coming if you'll take that step. God will empower you. He'll enable you. Don't be overwhelmed by having to make those choices. Walk through it. Lean in. Trust in him. Be honest with him. Be open with God. Say, God, I feel like I missed it. I feel like that's me that Pastor was talking about, and I feel like I missed it, and I'm willing to do what you have me to do. Show me what's next, and I'll take the steps. Father, we're thankful that you love us that much. You love us that much. So now pray this prayer after me today. If you want to receive Christ, just say, Jesus, I sincerely and wholly receive you into my life. I make you the center of my thoughts, my desires, my motivations. I want to do what you have for me to do. Forgive me of my sins. Bring me into intimate relationship with you. Reveal to me your thoughts and plans for my life. I'm grateful for you. I love you. Amen. Come on, somebody give Jesus a big shout today, could you?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. Our hope is that you are encouraged, equipped, and empowered to live out the amazing life that God has designed for you. We pray that this message was fresh air to you. If you made a decision to ask Jesus to become the leader of your life, we'd love for you to let us know. Please text the word YES to 740-387-7778. If you'd like to reach out to Family Life Church, please visit our website at yourfamilylife.org. Thank you so much for joining us. Have an amazing day.